Now, in the last few months, it's become clear that mask wearing is something that is here to stay for the indefinite future. Having just one mask no longer seems to be an option. With so many mask options to choose from and a variety of opinions on what type is best, it can be hard to choose. And once we have the masks, there are a lot of questions on proper care, how to wash them, how often to wash them, and more. We have two guests joining us now to talk about choosing and caring for our face masks. Majid Sarmadi is the Rothmel Bascom Professor in the School of Human Ecology, where he directs the graduate-level textile science specialization in the Design Studies program. He also works with students in the Materials Science graduate program. Majid, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, and hello to everyone.
Thanks for being with us. And Amanda Simonek is an associate professor of epidemiology in the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, an associate editor for the social media-based science communication campaign Dear Pandemic, in which she and nine other female PhD-trained scientists curate the latest scientific information and guidelines related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Amanda, great to have you back on Central Time.
Thanks for having me today, Judith.
Well, Majid, let's start with you. We'd like to kind of compare and rate different types of masks. What have you found is the most or some of the better types of textiles to use in cloth masks?
The best thing to use is polypropylene or PP, and that one is a non-woven material. And the thing is you want to create three-layer mask. And when you create your three-layer mask, every layer acts as a wall of defense for you. And what you want to do is, after you put the three layers together, and it should be pleated in a way that opens up and covers your nose and your chin very comfortably. And it should have a metal, not plastic, nose piece. The metal nose piece will help to shape it around your nose to cover, to seal the breathing area. And you should take the mask in front, you know, and look at the light source or look at around. You should have enough light that doesn't look totally 100% opaque. But if you recognize any shape, any form, then the mask is not good enough to protect you. It has too open of structure. You want to stay with synthetic fiber or man-made fiber such as polypropylene, because it does not absorb moisture, it does not swell, it doesn't clog the pores that you breathe through. And when you are washed and clean it, it dries faster.
Hmm. Now, a lot of people are making cloth masks out of, say, you know, leftover fabric from sewing projects, things like that. They are often doing more than one layer. But from what you said, I'm concerned that those are maybe not as good as we think they are.
I always say any protection is better than none, as long as you don't become overconfident and become careless. You always have to maintain, even with the mask, maintain your distance with the other people, minimum of 6 feet, even you have the mask. Any protection is better than none. The cotton material, if it's too old, you don't want to get it from your grandma's chest and use them. For one reason is many of them has different chemicals on them that now we are not using them on textile material anymore. And then in the presence of moisture, they may release and may give you a problem. One of them is formaldehyde, for example, that they may cause problem, especially if the fabric was wash and wear or easy iron or durable press or some of those things, or some of them were having flame retardant on them when it was cotton. If you wanted to use cotton, buy brand new untreated cotton material rather than use any old ones that you do not know what type of a treatment was on it, because it may cause contact dermatitis for some people. And we talked about contact dermatitis a few months ago on public radio, if you recall.
And Amanda, I want to ask you about the style of masks and ways of not spreading the virus to others. One of the styles that there's been conflicting information out about is the gator style. And this, if people have seen it, it looks kind of like almost like a big sock kind of. It starts at your nose, but then it goes all the way down onto your neck. And so it's kind of a scarf and a mask put together, or a collar almost. Are those good at preventing transmission of COVID-19?
I think what we want to focus on is the number of layers of fabric. And so a gator mask can be an effective mask, but we want it to be made of the right material, a tightly woven material. And a lot of these gaiters are used, you know, pre-pandemic for running or for sports. And so they kind of tend to be a stretchier material. And so if the gaiter itself is made from multiple layers of tightly woven fabric, then it can serve a similar function, I think, to a cloth face mask that fits, you know, with ear loops. So I would focus on the number of layers and deciding.
That's good to know, because there was at least, you know, one article that was floating around saying gaiters might be worse than nothing at all. So you're saying that's probably
the
not
the study
true.
That came out was really assessing the mechanics to be able to test masks. It wasn't intended to be a study of mask efficacy. And so I think the headlines kind of ran with that, mm-hmm. but we can refocus on just thinking about the multiple layers and having a gator that meets that criteria.
One of the problem with them is that it doesn't cover the nose. It doesn't attach to around your nose, and therefore it doesn't create a seal. Hmm. And therefore you have lots of air go up and down and those things, you know, when you are breathing, and doesn't filter the air. So that's one of my problem with them. And again, if you are using them, take them and see if you can see the light and recognize any shapes. If you recognize any shape, is not good. I had one of my colleagues wearing a mask that I could see she has a very nice red lipstick on. And I said, you know, you got to change it immediately. So you know what I mean? You know, masks available. So you shouldn't be able to do that.
One more question about kind of the style of masks. Chuck on Facebook said, please compare the pros and cons of masks that loop around the ears. Those are the ones with elastic, and masks that tie behind the head. Majid, do you have any advice there for Chuck?
I like the one that loop around your head better, because they create a better seal, but they are not as easy to put them on and off, take them off. So some people don't like it. Personally, I think they are good. The masks are very individual people. Some people may be more comfortable wearing masks with the ear loops. And you got to make sure that doesn't cause too much pressure on your earlobes. Otherwise, you get tired. You constantly touch your mask to adjust it, and that causes your hand to be contaminated. You don't want to do that. And you touch your face and those things. If the mask coming down, you want to push it up. That's not good. So, please see which one you are more comfortable mm-hmm. with and use that one. Stay, use a mirror to see if it's sealing around your nose, if it's sealing around your cheeks, if it's sealing around your chin. You know, use a mirror, and then that's the right size mask for you. And
so the seal is the most important. If we can use the ones with the ties, but if we can get a good seal with the elastic around the ears, those are okay.
Those are fantastic too.
Okay, great. We are talking with Amanda Simonek, an associate professor of epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee. We also have Majid Sarmadi, a professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. We are talking about the best types of masks to wear and how to care for them. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about choosing the right kinds of masks, how often they can be reused, and how to care for them? Have you found a mask style that you like a lot? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We are continuing our conversation about caring for your face masks, and we have two guests with us. Amanda Simonek is an associate professor of epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee, and Majid Sarmadi is a professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about finding the best face masks? Are you wondering how to keep it clean? And have you found a mask that works for you and want to recommend it to others? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. And I have a question. So how often should we be washing a cloth mask, or is it enough to let it air out if we are letting it sit for long enough that the virus, if we had come in contact with it, would die? Amanda, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, I think you should treat your mask, you know, as a single use mask. You know, if you're going out to the grocery store and you wear it, then I would come back home, take it off, and put it into the wash. If you're going out to have a picnic with friends, you know, and you're trying to maintain social distance and wear masks, you might wear it for a while, then take it off to eat. It's okay to put it back on. What you want to keep in mind is if the mask is getting damp from your respirations, then it's going to become more difficult to breathe through the mask and it's going to become less effective. So that can be a good sign that, hey, I should switch my mask. You know, maybe if you're going to be out for a few hours or you're working and you're wearing a mask, you want to have a few on hand to be able to change them throughout the day. If you are going to take off your mask, you want to, you know, remove it by the earlobes. You want to fold the outside portion on top of itself to keep the contaminated portion closed. And then you can bring along a paper bag or a plastic bag and store it inside there. And after you take that off and you put it in the bag, you want to use hand sanitizer or wash your hands before you would be eating or doing anything else. And that way, you know, you don't want to throw your mask that you've been wearing into your purse or your backpack or, you know, the passenger seat of your car. You want to put it into a place where it's not going to contaminate any surfaces or anybody, right? And then take it back out, put it on, and use hand sanitizer again.
So airing it out is not enough because it could compromise how well it's working.
Well, I think you'd need to do that for a few days. And, you know, they do say you could do that and put the mask out into the sun. But just having it sit out for 10 minutes, you know, next to you while you're eating outside is not going to be sufficient for that.
Okay. I'll say what I do is I have a few different cloth masks and I kind of have a rotation. And so no one mask is being, and I've been airing them out more than washing them because we just don't do laundry that often. But I've been letting them air out for at least, I'd say, 4 to 5 days. Is that maybe helping a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you don't do laundry often, you can hand wash your mask in soap and water and then leave it to dry out. And that would be more, I think, effective than just leaving it out to dry in the air.
And Majid, is there any concern about compromising the fabric itself if we wash it too much?
No, depends to the type of a fabric. But I wanted to add something. And that one is your mask is even you put it outside to sun and something to disinfect that, but your mask acts as a filter, like your dryer filter at your washer and or your filter on your air conditioning system. It gathers junks or pollens and dust. Therefore, If you don't wash your cloth mask regularly, it clogs the pores and make your respiration more difficult. Therefore, you shouldn't only try to disinfect it, but wash it and always wash it inside out. Because when you are washing it inside out, if you are not putting it in laundry, let the water run to take the debris out of material rather than lodge them inside to close the pores. And they be trapped over there. So therefore, if you are washing by hand, run warm water, goes from one side to another one inside, you know, goes the other direction to take everything that is on this surface out rather than push them inside mask.
That is a great point. I would not have thought about that.
And then remember, if you are buying a brand new fabric and you wash it, it may shrink. We have relaxation shrinkage and we have swelling shrinkage and progressive shrinkage that goes constantly through. And it may make your breathing a little bit difficult if it's too close. So you see, where is your comfort level? You are breathing, you can see barely some light, and you are comfortable breathing. And as long as doing that, and as long as the elastic is not giving up on you, some of the elastic become too loose or too tight.
So we should keep an eye on that. We are talking with Majid Sarmadi of UW-Madison and Amanda Simonek of UW-Milwaukee about the best types of masks to buy and use and how to take care of them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And let's go to the phones. And Nancy in Grafton is up. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, I got an idea. I've got those masks, you know, that come from the doctor's office. Anyhow, but I need windshield washers now for my glasses. Gosh darn it, they get fogged up. And there I am with foggy glasses. And what kind of mask would work better, or do I have to get windshield washers for my glasses?
I feel your pain, Nancy. I only wear reading glasses, but of course in a grocery store or something, I need to be able to read things, and I have the same thing. I don't know, either of you, Majid or Amanda, would you like to take that?
I can take that. Nancy, that's a great question, and I think, you know, someone probably will patent that invention now that you said that. But you can wear your mask up higher on your nose so that your glasses rest on top of the mask. And if you have that metal, you know, bar in the mask that you've pinched tight across the bridge of your nose, and you've really made that fit of the mask snug across your cheeks, wearing your glasses so they, and I do wear glasses, but so that they rest over the mask brim is going to help prevent that fogging up of your glasses.
And Majid, do you want to add anything?
Yes, and I want to say, if your glasses are fogging too much, it means there is no seal on above your nose, and you are leaking too much air from that point. So, therefore, your mask is not good.
We're not fitting well.
Okay,
fitting well, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Thank you for bringing that up, Nancy. And let's go back to the phones. And Nan in Madison is up. Hi, Nan.
Hi. I'm sorry if this has been already answered, but I obviously a disposable paper mask is a one-time use. But how long does the virus live on paper, and how long does it live on fabric?
Thanks for that call, Nan. So a single-use paper mask, is it really a single-use, or does it depend on how long we're using it? Amanda?
Again, I would follow the same rule that if you're wearing it and it starts to become damp because of your breath and your respirations, that it would be time to replace it, you know, or if you're wearing it long enough that it's sort of stretching out or not fitting. But I would consider that a single-time, you know, use mask.
Okay. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but one thing that I really want to see if we can get some clarity on is when all of this started and we were being encouraged to wear masks, and now it's mandated in some situations, it was very much about protecting others, not transmitting the virus. But Amanda, I'll ask you as an epidemiologist, are we also protecting ourselves? Is it protecting us as much as we're protecting others.
You're right that the main purpose back, you know, in April when the Centers for Disease Control made the recommendation that in the community setting we wear masks was really for source control, to limit the number of droplets that I expel out into the environment that could potentially infect other people. I think as more people in the community wear them, we do all benefit from mask use. There's some, you know, evidence from some studies in different situations where, you know, both people wearing masks has prevented infections, whether that's in a hair salon or on an airplane. And we have, you know, evidence growing that the infectious dose that you may get exposed to when you're around people who wear masks might be lower. You know, so even if we're not preventing all droplets or all particles from entering into the environment, we're reducing that amount, and that can have an effect on the level of infection in the community.
And briefly,
I'd like to emphasize here, please do not use the mask with the valve on them, because those masks do not protect the community. It may protect you when you are exhaling. All droplets go outside and contaminate your environment.
Hmm. Well, so much great information. Thank you both for joining us. Majid, thanks so much.
Sure.
Thank you.
And Amanda, yeah, thanks for joining us once again. Majid Sarmadi is a professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where he directs the graduate-level textile science specialization. He also works with students in the materials science graduate program. And Amanda Simonek is an associate professor of epidemiology at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's also associate editor for the social media-based science communication campaign called Dear Pandemic. They both joined us to talk about choosing the best mask for you and caring for those masks.